Welcome into Fantasy Focus Football. It is Wednesday, September 13th. My name is Daniel Dopp, here with Mike Clay and Field Yates. Fantasy Focus Football is presented by Geico. Switch to Geico, see all the ways that you could save. Guys, it is so great to see your faces here with my two best friends. How you doing today?
I'm doing pretty well. You made it, though.
You made it.
I did.
That's the important part. You made it, Daniel.
I was waiting for it.
I caught the important part of yesterday's show, which was you weren't
here. I appreciate you listening to the shows that you're not on,
Mike.
I did.
I tune in once in a while when there's big news, like your situation.
Like me locking myself out of the car.
Right.
The only thing in the football world over the past 36 hours.
That was the big thing on yesterday's show, That was really frustrating, I got to be honest. You get a phone call. You give a phone call to a locksmith, and you know what they say? Yeah,
see,
we'll send
someone
hours? Out in a little bit. And it's like, do you have an ETA on a little bit? And they're like, nope, whenever our guy comes available. And it's like, I got work in 30 minutes, guys.
Yeah. That's just like when you need like work on your cable or something, and they say we'll be there between the hours of 8 and 5 or something.
That is exactly
like, okay,
what
well,
it was
I'll just
like.
Sit here all day and wait.
I'll tell you what, Field Jace did an awesome job with Stefania, being able to do an incredible Tuesday show. Thank you, Field, for doing that for
You're
me.
So welcome,
that I wasn't able
Daniel.
To be here.
You forgot the part that's like the final straw for when you actually lock your keys in the car. Is that first of all, it sucks. You have to call someone. You have to wait several hours. Yeah. And then once they get your keys out of your car, they'll be like, okay, that's $419.
Exactly. Yep.
And you're like, well, there's no recourse, right? Like, there's no other way to do this.
Nope.
There's no alternative option to get my car keys out. So I will fork over $419.
Insult to injury is
how
it
felt. Did you invoice Mike for that? Because indirectly, it was Mike's fault.
It probably was. I was going to say, like, on top of that $419, you also have to refill your gas tank because your car was running.
My car was
that's
running
another $419 these days. So that's rough.
It was a really tough Tuesday for me, guys, is all I'm trying to say. Maybe give me a follow on the X at Daniel Dopp. A little bit of love will go a long way. We got a lot we're going to talk about on the show today. Guys, it is week two rankings. You know how in week one, we were just sort of trying to figure out how we rank guys because we don't really know. Well, in week two, we got 1 week to be able to overreact.
So now it's easy.
Right. Now we definitely know everything about our rankings going forward.
It took me like 5 seconds. So it's like, this is easy now. We know exactly where they're going
really
to finish every
it
week.
It really
now.
Was. You know, do you think people care about how we come together or how we make our rankings? Do they care or no?
As long as they're correct, I don't think so.
No, I'm just curious. Like, do you think people are interested in the process?
I think to an extent. I think there's some people who don't have a lot of time.
Yeah.
Actually, I have an article, which I don't think we've talked about this, just kind of a quick, like, how to run your team in 15 minutes if you don't have a lot of time. And a lot of times that is just, this is
the guy.
I have an injured guy. I put him on IR. I just pick up the top projected guy, plug him in, and, you know, people don't have time. And that's fine. And there's an article kind of how you can manage your team on just 15 minutes a week. So there's that group of people. And then there's other people, that would be curious about the process and understanding that kind of thing.
60 seconds here. Mike Clay runs the projections. Obviously, those projections are the foundation for everything that we do here at ESPN.
Yep.
We have a system that each of us has an individual login to, and we can go and we can make alterations to our rankings. But the default, it's not like the quarterback ranking space is just an empty canvas and we have to go click and drag. All right, Patrick Mahomes 1 and then Josh Allen 2 and Jalen Hurts 3. No, it starts with Mike's default rankings of his projections, and then you just toggle up and down. Mm-hmm. So if there are players that you feel strongly Mike is wrong about, then you move them down or up, and that's kind of how the rankings come together. But people often say, like, you guys tend to see players fairly similarly. Well, when you're starting from the same foundation, it is usually going to lead to more times where you think things similarly than you do think things dissimilarly. Yep. And early in the season, though, as Daniel and you just referenced, Mike, there's probably the chance that we do have greater discrepancies in our rankings because there's so much that we still don't know.
So here's my question. How often do you open up the feed for the first time?
Yeah.
You see them rankings, you start moving guys around, and you're like how many times on average per week are you like, what? Is this guy serious with this?
No,
like,
you know what?
You mean I'm like, I see that Mike Clay has someone projected somewhere, and I'm like, is this guy serious?
Yeah,
Mike really? That happens at least twice a week.
Yeah.
Twice a week to me.
Only twice? That's it?
Yeah, probably. You're pretty good at what you do, I think.
There's only like two players.
There's definitely players that catch your eyes for different reasons. I will say this, though.
I want that list every week.
I will start to send it to you then.
You should actually. I'm serious about that.
Quarterbacks tend to be where I think things vary a little bit more, just because maybe I put too much stock into certain things in quarterbacks. I love when they ask me to do kicker rankings during the week. It's my favorite thing. So they're like, who would you prefer? Like, just would you prefer Riley Patterson or Dustin Hopkins? And I'm like, well, I'm going to go to Mike's projection. I have one rule in my kicker rankings every single week. I take Justin Tucker. I take Harrison Butker. Tucker's the GOAT.
Yep.
Harrison Butker plays for the best offense.
Yep.
And then Jake Elliott, who just bombs kicks left and right, and I just drag him to the top.
Those are the top three.
You know what's funny about kickers is I was doing a little work on the projections during the offseason, and I noticed that, like, I was trying to correlate like how good an offense is with how many field goal attempts there. And it's like an upside down U like this, right?
Yeah.
Because the bad teams don't kick field goals because they're not in scoring position.
Right.
The good teams don't kick field goals because they score touchdowns.
Yep.
And that leaves the kind of the middle ground. And you think about a team like Chris Boswell last year, the Steelers were better than you realize offensively. They just cannot score touchdowns at all. And Boswell had like 5,000 field goal attempts.
Can we just,
it's kind of interesting,
rewind 45 seconds?
Uh-oh.
I was doing some work during the offseason on my kicker projections.
Look, I have to.
You got to get out more, Mike.
I also did punter work on punter projections. Mike.
How did your long snapper projections work out?
We don't have that scoring yet. I'm working on it. I've been pushing for long.
I love you, Mike Clay.
Yeah, so we did that. I mean, Monday, I went through every player that played a snap in week one to adjust the projection. So all the if you play IDP, they should align with their usage and everything. Now, week one is tough. Week one is an absolute grind, but I stayed up late till like the middle of the night, Monday night.
We can have fun with it, but we are so freaking lucky to have Mike as a teammate here.
Seriously, man.
Absolute legend. All right.
And in all seriousness, I'd like to know those guys when you're like, you know what? That's suspicious.
Well, we'll talk about some of them a little bit later on in the show. I got a few of them.
Because I won't change them, but I'll at least build some evidence as to why I'm right.
That's all right. And a quick shout out to our buddies at Trophy Smack. If you want to get a championship belt like this for your fantasy league, head on over to trophysmack.com for 20% off. Use the code FOCUSBELT. 10% off with the code FOCUSBELT.
You know what? If people go buy one and they heard 20% off, you owe the extra 10%.
That's on me, guys.
Request Daniel on Venmo.
Actually, I heard if you buy 1% for every belt sold, goes to Daniel for his fund. For the next 10 minutes, 1% of every sale.
All right. All right, let's dive in with a little bit of news before we talk some rankings here. Jonathan Taylor, you were not here on the show to be able to talk about this. I actually wasn't here on the show yesterday to talk about it either. But Jonathan Taylor, we got some good news. Looking like he might be coming back, like we're talking about, once his IR slot is done, Field.
So let's talk about this a little bit more. So he's on the PUP list right now.
Sorry, not IR,
he's unable
PUP.
To be back until at least week 5. But Adam Schefter reported on Sunday a couple of important elements. First of all, he could pass, talking about Taylor, but probably Shefty too, he could pass a physical right now.
How can you be on PUP if you can pass physical right now?
Because he's not hurt.
So you don't have to be hurt to be on PUP?
No, you do, but he's not.
Okay. I mean, so like them admitting that he could pass a physical.
No, they didn't admit
anything. Adam Schefter said that.
Yeah, Schefter's right. Who knows what the source is, but like, just
and
reminder
this isn't a
people.
Surprise. Yeah.
This is not about the health of Jonathan Taylor. Yeah. Okay? This is about the fact that the Colts and Jonathan Taylor are on the rocks right now, and they see things very differently. That being said, it's good to discount the possibility of the health being a concern and that there's a chance he could return as soon as week 5. The million or maybe many million dollar question is, who will that be with? Mm-hmm. But if you drafted Jonathan Taylor, one of my hesitations was the possibility that he and the Colts remained at odds until week 8, 10, 12, maybe even 14.
Yep.
It seemed nasty for a while there. It sounds like you may have found yourself a value if JT is back on the field with anybody by week 5, week 6, or week 7.
To get his contract to toll, he needs to report by what, week 8?
He needs to play. Well, funny you say this. And this is the nerdiest thing we'll ever talk about in Fantasy Focus.
I think this is interesting
because
what's
important.
Worst case scenario? Like he wants his contract to not toll.
Right. People
like,
who don't
wants,
know what that means. Yeah. Toll means it just like this year basically just gets delayed to next year and does not count towards Jonathan Taylor's progress in his contract.
Right, to get towards free agency.
Believe
right.
it or not. And I've talked to people who have been as involved with the CBA as anybody could be. People who know this stuff backwards and forwards. There's actually some ambiguity.
Interesting.
And while I think the Colts or any team would feel like it is a certain number of games, I think there is a plausible case for Jonathan Taylor that he needs to be on the active roster, 53-man roster, for one game.
Interesting.
One.
Really?
And so if things remain at odds, worst case scenario does, in my mind, remain the possibility that he shows up for 1 week, whether that's week 5 or week 18, and then says, I'm done. Mm-hmm. I made my contribution towards getting 1 year closer to free agency. But is not, there was some reporting that he needed to play at least 6 games. Not the case. It's not 6 games, at least not in the eyes of people that would be defending Jonathan Taylor's case. And as you can imagine, if Jonathan Taylor and his side feel as though he needs just one game, and then he only plays one game, they will be willing to fight that tooth and nail if it ever got to that point.
Interesting.
Are you doing with anything, Jonathan Taylor? If you drafted him, you're likely just hanging holding tight on to him, right?
Nothing you can do about it.
If you didn't draft him, is there enough positivity here that you're like, hey, I might want to go out and try and acquire him? Or is there enough vagueness in this situation that you're like,
if you're 3-0, then maybe like if you've got great depth, but we're 1 week into the season.
You're right.
Like, even if you had a great week in week one, it's way too hard to say that like, yeah, you know what? I'm stocked enough in the cabinet to go make a Jonathan Taylor trade and part ways with my fourth receiver or my third running back.
I'm sorry you didn't draft as well as I did, Field.
Yeah. So
I'm sorry you didn't draft as well as me in the focus league.
That's right. That's true. You had the highest score
the entire year. Right. You guys didn't pay me yet for my week one high scoring.
All right.
Is that a thing? Are we doing that?
No.
No, but you are.
We're not.
You are. You owe me $10. Okay, here you go. Yeah,
All right, let's talk about our week one. Anything else you want to add on JT? Are we good to jump into
Ravens? No, I mean, could be back as early as week five.
My big takeaway was that the risk seems less risky than it did at the time of drafts.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see. And the trade deadline's what, week eight? So somewhere in that vicinity, he could be traded or play for the Colts by week five.
Yep.
And obviously
right
they're running
Halloween. So that's about week eight.
Yeah. And probably they're probably motivated to get him on the field after what we saw from their running backs in week one. You know, it's unfortunate. It looked like Evan Hull, the rookie, was about to, you know, Deion Jackson was struggling. They were about to give it to Hull and he got hurt and he's on IR for 4 weeks now. So that dream is kind of dead for now, unless Taylor gets traded.
I mean, in fairness to Deion Jackson, he did average over 1 yard per carry. Not by much.
It was not.
My guy, Zach Moss, might be back this week.
He could be back
to watch. If you're desperate at running back,
guys, you're really desperate if that's what you're... Okay,
some of us are in 16-team leagues.
I stumbled upon Zach Moss on a bench in a dynasty league this week, and I was like, oh,
all right,
let's go. Yeah, I don't know what the circumstances were that led me to getting him on that team in the first place, but I'll take it.
We have so many teams that sometimes I do the same thing, even with like week one breakouts. Like this week, there was multiple teams where I was like, oh yeah, I spent a fourth rounder on Puka Nacua. Yeah. Awesome. That's cool.
Really? Stop. No, you did.
Or even a late round flyer.
Like, did you? Good for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I have him on a several teams. Yeah.
That's
so
amazing.
Damn good at this, Mike.
Just good late flyers. It's all a little lucky.
All right, we're talking our week two rankings. It's presented by Geico. Switch to Geico. See all the ways that you could save. Going to start with the number one quarterback in fantasy last week. That was Tua Tagovailoa. Here's what I saw. Who was number two?
Mac Jones.
Yes.
Number two quarterback.
Wow. That's insane. The way that the week one quarterback like situation worked out at the top of fantasy is very interesting.
Well, as we know, though, the way they finish in week one is how they're going to finish
the rest of the season. Right. That's right.
I claimed Mac Jones. I dropped Josh Allen to claim Mac Jones off waivers.
Everything we would all do.
Congratulations to me for winning the league.
I want to ask you guys about Tua because what we saw in week one was a back and forth shootout with the Chargers in which Tua threw the ball 45 times and they ran the ball 13.
Yeah.
How often do you think that we're going to be in this situation? Like, Tua's not going to throw for 400 yards every week, right?
Maybe.
But is this a situation where they're going to throw more often than run? I think that gap is going to be closer than what it was. But is there still enough there that Tua is a top 10 starter for you this week?
I think the interesting part of the Tua conversation is actually less about the balance and more about the matchup this week. That, to me, is the only reason why I think people are probably saying to themselves, is he going to go for 27.15 points?
No.
Let's talk about the things that Tua doesn't do anymore. Doesn't run. No more
5 yards last week, 70 all of last season.
So we need Tua to absolutely snipe as a quarterback, as he showed in week one when he was one of the best players, regardless of position, in the entire NFL. He was absolutely brilliant last week. Mm-hmm. He can throw with the best of them. 466 yards, has, you know, a top three wide receiver tandem at worst in Tyreek Hill and also Jalen Waddle. But while Tua has never lost to Bill Belichick, he's never dominated him in fantasy football. Now, you can make the case that a lot of that came prior to three of his four starts have been without Tyreek Hill. But week one last year with Tyreek Hill, relatively kept in check. As a matter of fact,
it was like 220 yards and one touchdown.
Yeah, he's never thrown for multiple touchdown passes against a Bill Belichick led defense.
Really?
So that's the question I have. I think it's going to be less than 466 yards. I don't think it's going to be 215 yards for Tyreek Hill and three touchdowns. But I still have him as quarterback 7. I'm most optimistic out of the three of us because, damn it, that was impressive this past Sunday against the Chargers.
It was. I'm at QB 9 for this week. So, again, very close to it's a streaming option. He was QB 7 last season during his full healthy games, despite not much in terms of rushing. But I will say this. We've seen better than this from Tua before. Week two last season, he had 469 yards, which was more than he had this past week. Also, had six touchdowns in that game against Baltimore. He only had four 20-point games the entire rest of the season. And, like, I believe his next three games after that big game, one he left early, he had, like, 460 combined passing yards in those games. So We've seen these spike games from Tua. We've also seen plenty of down games as well. Can he be a back-end QB1? Yes, I think so. But that rushing is going to limit him. It's going to limit his ceiling and stop him from getting to that conversation of the elite. I think, unless Tua is just... I mean, look, his efficiency throwing last year was elite. Like, he was up there in QBR, YPA. Absurd. Like, maybe he is a budding superstar, and he does put up Mahomes-like stats. It's possible. We don't know for sure. That's best-case scenario, obviously. Or Herbert-like stats maybe is a better example. But... I think for now it's safe to consider him kind of a fringe, a streamer for the time being until he shows it for a longer stretch of time. I'll tell
you, the Patriots held your quarterback, Jalen Hurts, to only 12 and a half fantasy points. I mean, that is, when you're talking about it, that is part of the conversation. Like, my question is, if you're not starting Tua now, when would you be starting Tua? Like, if you drafted Tua Tagovailoa in your draft, you didn't get one of those top eight quarterbacks, right? Yeah. So you drafted Tua as a starter. You have to start him this week unless you think that there's someone farther down this list that you like.
I think if you were like a late quarterback drafter, and Tua was not one of the top 10 or 12 quarterbacks taken in some of the leagues that I am in, and you ended up with, just making this up here, Tua and Kirk Cousins. Like, it's a no-doubter in my mind what you are starting this week, right? I've said this several times recently. I saw so many teams double up on quarterbacks this year. Mm-hmm. So if Tua was one of your two quarterbacks, it likely wasn't, you know, Tua plus, you know, Joe Burrow. It was more like Tua plus Kirk Cousins or Tua plus Anthony Richardson or something like that. Yep. And I think at some point during the season, when we have enough of a sample size, we'll be a little more pragmatic and sort of process over results driven. Right now, the process is a bit more with your heart than your head. And if you have Tua on your roster, it's going to be damn hard not to play him on Sunday night, even in a matchup that we think will be more difficult than what the Chargers showed. The Chargers, man, I just was surprised because the Chargers played him so brilliantly last season, but they had no answers for Tua. This Dolphins team kind of reminds me of like when you're playing against a knuckleball pitcher in baseball, and that first time through the lineup, you're just like, I don't know what the hell I'm supposed to do here, right? Mm-hmm. That seemed like last year, early on, teams had really no answer for that Dolphins offense. Eventually, the offense kind of slowed down when they hit the teeth of their schedule, but it's going to be tough, even with a spectacular defense in New England, to really contain this Dolphins offense on Sunday night.
Yeah, sometimes I feel bad for guys. Like even the Chargers, they might have a really good defense. On paper, it's a great defense. Mm-hmm. It's almost like you have to throw this away against Tyreek Hill. I remember this with like Casey Hayward as well. He was always so good for the Chargers, and then they would face the Chiefs twice a year, and he'd try to follow Tyreek Hill, but he couldn't because he's moving all over the formation, and he's incredibly fast. I rewatched this game last night. You can't stop Tyreek Hill.
Nope.
The guy is ridiculous. He was just running right by people, and he catches the ball. Where it doesn't matter if he's going deep or in the short area. He catch it and run for 25 more yards, or I'll take the top off the defense. The dude is just unstoppable. He might go for 2,000. Like, he really could hit 2,000 this year.
What happened to J.C. Jackson?
He had an interception in that game.
I mean,
there's that.
Did you see the rest of the plays, though? He got benched.
In this game?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he did, because Mike Davis led them in snaps. Yeah.
This guy who made $80 million from them.
That's tough.
What, yeah. Now, obviously, last year, maybe
he's coming around. Yeah, is he 100%?
Yeah. Brandon Staley, who is so judicious with his words, just basically said after the game, like, not very good. He softened his stance a little bit a day later, but that's an interesting one to watch out there in Los Angeles.
All three of us have Tua as a top 10 quarterback here heading into week two. Let's talk about Geno Smith, who went up against what was supposed to be the worst defense, which was the Los Angeles Rams. And I'm checking in. He finishes quarterback 22 on the week, Mike Clay. Mm-hmm. Now he gets to take on the Detroit Lions, who held Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs without Travis Kelce, I will say that, to only 20 points. Are you starting Geno Smith this week?
I think it's not the worst situation. We're all QB 13, so he's a borderline starter in 12-team leagues.
We really see this one differently, guys.
I know, we're way off on this one. Again, I think he had some excuses there. Very much a new look defense, I guess. The personnel was very different, like kind of learning things, I guess. I don't know. I'm just making excuses.
He's been
I'm trying. But his real excuses are both offensive tackles got hurt.
Correct.
They're bringing in Jason Peters right
41-year-old
now.
41-year-old Jason Peters to play left tackle.
Mike calls running backs that are 28 old.
Exactly.
Jason Peters. Hey, geriatrician, Jason Peters, new Seahawks left tackle.
Have you seen that guy? He can play till 50. That guy's huge.
He is huge. Yeah, he just get in the way.
So there's that. Also, from a fantasy perspective, again, they only ran 46 offensive plays. That would have been their lowest all of last season. Yeah. They averaged 61 per game. That's going to fix itself. They're going to run 13 to 50 more plays per game, and that's going to add to his fantasy appeal. He also had at least 12 fantasy points in all but one game last season. That was against the 49ers. So I do believe, especially when you consider his group of wide receivers, good duo at tight end, good group of running backs, that might be Geno's worst game of the season.
Yeah.
I think it probably will.
It probably will be his worst game of the season. I know that the Chiefs did not have Travis Kelce last week, and I'm not trying to pander to Daniel, but this Lions defense might be coming around a little bit as well, right? They spent a ton of money in the offseason to get this defense right. And I know he was great last year, but we could be looking at like a perennial all-pro player in Aiden Hutchinson who just destroyed the Chiefs last week. And that's not just some average run-of-the-mill right tackle. That's Juwan Taylor. He of $20 million per year and false start on every play fame. Like, it's a legit seven offensive line that he Patrick did Mahomes. Some serious damage. And Juwan Taylor, he's still awesome. And he had his share of wins as well on Thursday night. But this Lions defense last year was like the chalkiest matchup to have your quarterback
always start
go up against.
Everyone, yeah.
Now this year, like, it may not be as much of a positive matchup as we would have forecasted it to be coming into the season. I've got Geno as quarterback 13. I want the Seahawks and the Seahawks fans to listen very closely to me when I say there's one thing that the Seahawks need more this weekend. More Bobo.
Yeah.
More Bobo, baby. More
Do you have him on all of your dynasty teams?
Literally everyone.
That's amazing.
Yes. And if there's anybody out there that is listening to this podcast that has the capacity to make throwback jerseys for the Seahawks, but customize them, I'm in the market. I will pay market price, whatever it is, because you can't currently get this. On the Seahawks website, you can buy DK Metcalf throwbacks and a few others, Lockett, Geno, et cetera. You can't buy a Jake Bobo one, and I don't want the standard. I don't want to customize just a regular old traditional uniform. I want a Jake Bobo throwback Seahawks jersey.
All right, we got to make this happen, but I want to know, all right, so you're Shane Waldron.
Yes.
You're running this team.
Yes.
And you got DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, Jackson Smith, and Jigba on the field.
Right.
Who are you pulling off?
Who am I not pulling off for Jake Bobo? It's my question to you.
Okay.
So you're saying,
how many touchdowns did those three combine for in the preseason?
Zero.
How many did Jake Bobo have?
Three.
I think two.
I just guessed. I had no idea.
It's not that good.
Okay. It's Matt.
It's
obviously going to be, but he was legitimately playing for them.
Yeah.
Like Jake Bobo was playing like, and he was more of like, I'm trying to think of the right word, sort of like Ben Skowronek last year for the Rams, like blocking a lot doing stuff that like goes past the box score. But I play in a goes past the box score fantasy league, and he was my high scorer for last week. So
good. They do. That four job there is wide open. D.S. Gridge is suspended. Derek Young on IR.
To me, it's not even like a cool story anymore. Like, that's his job.
Yeah.
Like, there's way too much positivity, and like an undrafted rookie playing a real role in week one, it's his job.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about some running backs here. Rashad White, we were all really excited about him as a potential RB2 in our fantasy lineups, and they took on the Minnesota Vikings.
Yep.
Gave us 6.9 fantasy points. The positive, though, is he had 19 touches.
Yeah.
Sean Tucker, the other guy that we've all been excited about behind him, only had seven.
So a couple thoughts here. And I'll take this one because I think I was the one that suggested that we talk about Rashad White. I think whatever side of the Rashad White argument you were on during the offseason, you won in week one.
Yeah,
right? The idea was, if you're a pro Rashad White guy, unlike Mike Clay.
Yep.
No, you were pro in fantasy. Yes. But if you were pro Rashad White, the calculus was this. Very little competition in the backfield for an offense that we don't really know what it's going to be. But if you're getting somewhere between 15 to 20 touches per game, you're in business.
Yep.
If you were anti-Rashad White, the biggest question mark was efficiency. Week one, 17 carries for 39 yards. Two catches for 10 yards. Poor efficiency. So I think whatever you wanted, you got in week one. Whether you wanted him to be very busy or whether you wanted him to be a poorly efficient running back, you got both of those things.
19 touches is a good number of touches for an RB2. Oh,
if that continues, he's going to be an RB2. There's no question about it. He can be super inefficient. He's still going to be a viable fantasy starter. I was disappointed going up against Minnesota, front that really intimidated me. So I'm disappointed by the lack of efficiency on that volume. But the Bears did struggle against the Packers running backs badly last week, 185 scrimmage yards to Aaron Jones and company. So maybe he gets back on track. You like the volume? We're still starting him this week. We're ranking him as a starter. The question becomes, does he keep this job long term? Is this a team that turns to Sean Tucker? Is this a team that looks to the trade market? That's a concern right now. I think Leonard Fournette's been tweeting a little bit. Maybe he's thinking about maybe a reunion. They could be in the market if he doesn't pick it up. But he has the chance now. He has the opportunity. He's just going to have to play better.
Yep. Let's go to Javonte Williams then, Daniel.
Yeah, Javonte Williams, a guy that obviously we were looking at. Mike, you've got him ranked as running back 22. We had a lot of questions
coming into
week one as to whether or not you could start him. I think he looked pretty good here. Are you looking at a potential play here in week two as well? Are you all high now that he's back?
Yeah, so my I think my ranks on the sheet, well, I don't know.
Where do
I
Whatever.
What's well, your anyway, I have Javonte, I believe it's 17. But
17?
So I'm even more optimistic.
This was one where I moved him down.
Yeah, so on we talked about this Monday. Yep. I am buying on Javonte Williams, and here's why. He was limited in this game, supposedly. He played 28 snaps, so and Samaje Perine played 26. So clearly limited to an extent. If he's fully healthy, we expect him to be have a gap between he and Perine. He had 17 touches, led the Broncos in targets in a game when he was limited.
Five targets. Mm-hmm. Now.
I mean, he had six targets. For a running back, that's a huge number. So,
that was great, actually. His line was 4, 5, 6. His receiving line was four catches, 5 yards, and six targets.
But again, if that sort of target usage continues, that number will obviously go up. We know that for sure. So I expect him to just continue to get his feet under him, much like Breece Hall, we're going to talk about in a second, and that role to continue to increase. So, and again, we expect a healthy Javonte Williams to play essentially an Alvin Kamara role, and that might seem like a stretch, but he basically did that in week one despite being limited. I'm in on Javonte. I think he's just going to continue to be healthier. He's going to play better. The touches are already there. I have a lot of optimism.
So you go first, Daniel.
I just want to say I thought Samaje Perine just looked like a better running back than Javonte Williams in week one. He had more explosive runs for more than 5 yards. He had more runs over 10 yards than Javonte did. Everything that Javonte did would just kind of felt it was fine. Samaje looked more sprightly to me.
Mm. Samaje looked more sprightly than Javonte. I don't think I had a good grip on it to say definitively whether one was more sprightly than the other.
One averaged 5 yards per carry, the other one averaged
Your Mountain Dew.
3.5.
Yes, that's fair. I would just push back on the Javonte Alvin Kamara comp only because, like, while targets are super valuable, all targets are not created equally. And basically, Javonte Williams was like, oh crap, I'm in trouble because the Raiders are generating pressure. Dump it off to you. And as we saw from the results, 4 catches for 5 yards.
But that's not, I mean, I hear you. I totally hear you in the week one perspective. But this is a guy that is a plus player in the passing game. I mean, he was, what was he, fifth at running back in targets last year before he got hurt? I mean, that's an area where he is very good. So, and again, I expect him to just get better and better and better. Right. He's one of them guys that even when I was deducting games from him in the offseason, he was still projecting so well. He's just a good player, and there's such opportunity in this offense. So, I will say this. Maybe I'm overestimating the Broncos' offense. I think it should be about average going forward. They did not look like an average offense in week one. It was very disappointing. But I remain optimistic. I'm not going to crush him for a lack of rushing or receiving yards in week one. I feel really good about the volume.
I think Mike may have misinterpreted what this segment actually is, though, Daniel. It's not us talking about players that we disagree on our rankings. It's us talking about why you and I are right and Mike isn't correct on the rankings.
Doesn't know what he's talking about. Yeah.
Javonte, I'm a little bit lower on.
So did you not get that note before the show?
No, I didn't. Oh. I didn't get that.
You didn't check your email.
This actually is what we talked about, which is you guys looking at the initial rankings and picking out all the guys.
Mike's still a flip-flop guy. It's very
That's right. Good. That's true. Yeah.
He's a little behind. I'm like 20 minutes behind on everything.
All right, let's talk about James Cook here. I thought this was really interesting. James Cook in draft season. I know we're past this. I'm just going to say real quick. Mm-hmm. In draft season, James Cook was like a low-end RB3 for us for a real long time, and then right at the end he started moving up to like that RB2 kind of conversation. Now after week one, he had 16 touches. Latavius Murray had 3. Damien Harris had 3. He was clearly the guy in this Bills backfield. He's now my running back 14 on the week field. How high is too high for James Cook?
I don't think 14 is too high. I've got him at 16. Mike has him at 15. Mm-hmm. So we've covered a lot of ground there. 14, 15, 16. I wonder if the way that we were talking about Rashad White in the preseason should have been flipped with James Cook, right? James Cook is like the mid-tier RB2, and maybe Rashad White's inefficiency will net him out as like a low-end RB2 or a flex consideration, because Cook, I think, is a superior player. Those six targets on Monday were tasty, by the way. And do you have the snap count for Damian Harris or Latavius Murray?
I don't have the snaps, but Cook played 60%, the other two combined for the rest.
Yeah, so it was a pretty clear edge there for James Cook, and this offense was not humming on Monday night, and he achieved what he did, which is, I know, just 10.4 fantasy points, but to get 6 targets in a night where the offense was really not clicking, I thought was actually encouraging, all things considered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had more Latavius Murray and Damien Harris involvement in the passing game than expected, but And that was kind of the reservation with Cook. What was this offense with Josh Allen doesn't throw to the running backs very often. So you're very reliant on the carries. Sure. Would he lose goal line work to bigger backs like Murray and Harris? And that could still happen. Harris missed a lot of preseason time. He actually was outsnapped by Murray in this game. He could continue to ramp up. But again, I'm ranking him 15th. I feel very optimistic. I did draft him a lot, so I feel really good about the situation year two. He looks bigger out there than I expected. I don't James know if he Cook. Put on a yeah. few pounds or something. That was kind of the concern, right? He was only like 199 or something, or 200 pounds. Would he have the size to be a 15 to 20 touch a week guy?
I don't know if I'm allowed to say this yet publicly, but what the heck? Why not? It's just like, it's all part of a, it's actually going to be on Impractical Jokers. Like a little
okay. Yeah. I love that show.
Bring back Joe.
Dalvin Cook and James Cook actually changed jerseys. And that was actually Dalvin on the Bills and James that's what on it the was. Jets. So that's why he looks bigger.
That makes sense.
Okay.
That checks out.
Does it?
That checks out.
It kind of makes sense now?
I don't know, because I didn't. No. Yeah, sure. I don't know. I'm not going to say anything.
Snap counts between those three running backs. 35, 8, 8.
35, 8, and 8. Wow.
Just yeah. so you were asking about that. All right, let's talk about the Jets here really quickly.
I need to tell you guys something. I might be the anti-Mike Clay.
Oh, really?
Yes, this is what I was hoping Daniel would ask me about, and I decided to ask myself instead. Interesting.
Well, I was waiting. I had it set up, so I'm sorry I didn't ask you soon enough.
Last evening, I put a clip from yesterday's show just talking. I kept it very simple. You know, I'm looking for the engagement, right? Trying mm-hmm. to get people to get, you know, some likes going, some mm-hmm. reposts, whatever we're calling it these days, maybe some comments, just some feedback, generally things
so
like
So you're like 35 reasons you should add
but like the engagement I'm looking for
and
is
also
like
favorite fast food chain.
Right, like correct. Yes. Yes. More, but like whatever, you know, I just, what I posted was Breece Hall star. And that was it. I left it simple. I was hoping for feedback to the effect of like, wow, Field, like you really are the perfect fantasy analyst. Mm. Like if you retire today, it would be like John Elway going out after two Super Bowls. Like you're the GOAT. Like, sure.
Did you get a lot of that?
I would take more
sure.
in follow-up tweets. So like always feel free to like just say that to
at
me.
Yeah.
He was on his burners messaging himself.
anyway, so I post Breece Hall star. They're simple. Let the people decide what they wanted to make of this video.
Holy cow.
Last night, I'm sitting there feeding the baby in the middle of the night, open up my phone, which probably was a bad idea because the baby went back to sleep and I couldn't fall back to sleep. Get a little notification on the Twitter. Breece Hall started following you.
Stop it.
No way.
So.
Stop.
Am I the anti-Mike Clay? Asked the question. You guys give me the answer.
Maybe I need to be more positive so I can get followers and not angry DMs on Instagram for running backs. I'm too negative. Buzz Killington role is not working out for me.
I know.
That's so good.
So today, when the Javonte Williams conversation gets clipped off and
that's
Jackson
it.
Sends it
that's
to
it.
You.
That's it. Tag Javonte in
say,
there.
Say, Javonte awesome. Williams. What do we think? Like. I have it for you. Ready?
Okay.
Javonte Williams, colon, modern day combination of Barry Sanders, Marshall Faulk, Jim Brown, and Edgerrin James.
Yeah, we can use that David Montgomery, that infamous David Montgomery graphic.
So good.
And then just put like Javonte over, just write it over David Montgomery's name or something. That's it. I mean, that's who he is. He's everything you want in a running back.
If people don't know that David Montgomery graphic,
just Google it.
I'm sure it's somewhere on
social media.
It's
like the athleticism of Saquon Barkley, the shiftiness of Barry Sanders.
So good. On and on. Yes. Love it.
I really love Breece Hall Field. And after watching him look unreal in limited touches, 10 carries for 127 yards. I want this kid to be healthy so he can be in my starting lineup.
Yes.
Are you still playing him in fantasy as a potential flex play given what he did?
I'm highest out of us three. I've got him as RB25, and he played just 17 snaps last week. So that part's discouraging.
17.
That number, I think, will go up a little bit. I don't think it's going to be 37 snaps, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's 25 snaps this week. What we did see last week, and maybe defense will get onto this quicker, sooner than later, was that when Breece, that too, he's very fast, but when Breece Hall was on the field, he got the ball last week. They're going to have to probably have him on the field, not getting the football at some point, so the defenses don't know what's coming. But if that snap count goes up from 17 to 25 or 27, and that touch total stays around 12, 13, 14, 15, I'm taking my chances on Breece Hall, because when we talk about stars at running back, he needs to be on the list because it was just remarkable.
He looks incredible.
He looked unbelievable yesterday. I don't have access to next gen stats, so maybe if someone's listening to this that does, or maybe somebody that's smarter than me does, I wonder who the fastest ball carrier of the week was, and it wouldn't stun me if Breece Hall was near the top.
Yeah, he was. That was in training camp on Hard Knocks. They were clocking him, and he was like, as soon as he came back, he was over 20 miles
21,
an hour.
23, like, yeah. Something like that.
Yeah, it's incredible. Yeah, you're right. 11 touches on 17 snaps, 26 snaps for Dalvin Cook, and also 12 for Michael Carter. That's a number that could maybe come down a little bit, but they're mixing him in as well. So yeah. That's why I'm still, you know, chasing the volume. It's so hard to be a regular fantasy starter, yep. But it's also hard to bench him right now. So he is one of the trickier guys to rank. Also playing Dallas, this is going to be a very tough matchup with serious quarterback concerns. How many points are they going to score in this game? By the way, you reminded me of, like, there's a point late last season where the Raiders had thrown a pass on every single Amir Abdullah snap of the season.
Like, it was like, if he's hey, on the field,
if he's out there, yeah. Just back
that's
up.
That's
like,
a Josh McDaniels thing, right? James White used to always be that way. It was like 82% like, pass with James White.
But
on the
like
field.
Abdullah was like 100%
that's
carries.
Amazing. Yeah. So, anyways, I think this is also comes back to the heart versus head thing in week 2 of the NFL season.
Yeah.
People are going to play with their heart more than their head sometimes.
I'm going to be starting. I've met a lot of Breece Hall. So I'm going to be starting this week. It's just too hard to bench.
I've got this. Keeper league. It's not a dynasty league, but it's a keeper salary cap league that I had a good weekend, and then I just got dusted because my opponent, I was up big. My opponent had three players left.
Dallas defense,
mm-hmm. Tyreek Hill, Stephon Diggs.
Oh, going into the
that's
four.
Tough.
Oh,
no. Four whole games. So we that's both tough. Had like a huge 1 p.m. plus some Thursday night action, and then I just got dusted.
By
so
the way,
like,
Sorry, I jumped on you there. 2 Monday night games this week.
Now let's go.
Talk about that
next week. Yeah.
One at 7 o'clock, one at 8 o'clock. Yes. So I don't have to stay up until 2 a.m. to watch both of them.
Guys, I don't have to feel bad about the fact that I'm going to fall asleep. Like, I am 0 for whatever the number is right now on primetime.
That's
games.
Okay, oh, Phil. No. That's
so
okay.
Bad. Guys, I'm sitting there. I'm so old. I'm such a dad. Shout out to our guy, JJ Zachariasen, who does this all the time, like late East Coast dads. Mm-hmm. It is so I'm pathetic. 1 a.m. is like that doesn't exist to me other than feeding the baby. Stay. I mean, even like 11:45, I'm like sitting there on the couch and I'm like, holy crap. Like I might blow up.
I would have assumed, honestly, that you watched the Monday Night Football game and kind of fell asleep at halftime like a lot of people did. And then woke up at the end when it was like, Jets win! Jets win! And the punt return! And like, that's what woke you up was the touchdown screaming at you.
No, Monday I was good because of the Aaron Rodgers thing. Sunday night I was not good. And I fell asleep and I was like, oh crap, it's 26-0. And then I woke back up and it was like, oh, it's 40-0. Didn't miss a whole lot then.
I'm just saying, I was up to like 2 on Monday night doing all the... Oh my gosh. I stayed up after the game doing IDC projections.
Again, some of us... Right, here's the thing.
Some of us grind.
Right. You know? Some of us care about doing their work. Others of us... care about engagement on social media.
That's right.
So, again,
you're doing a better job of that.
Sure. Hey, I think you're the GOAT, and sleeping on your couch is totally legitimate, and working hard is overrated.
Do you want to go down barrel and talk up Javonte now, too, so you can steal
just
that
so you
one?
Can steal that from Mike.
Like, my steal who said all the nice things.
All right, we got one more running back to talk about here, and then we're going to take a quick break. Brian Robinson. Mike, you talked about running backs with volume.
Yeah.
Brian Robinson had 20 touches. You know what Antonio Gibson had on Sunday?
He had a lot less.
He had 4.
Yes, he did.
Chris Rodriguez had 3. Brian Robinson, clearly the guy in that backfield. Is he somebody that we can trust, though, in our fantasy lineup?
I'm not there yet. Denver allowed the Raiders, who have Josh Jacobs, who's pretty good. They had 50 yards and 20 carries in week 1. They did a very good job against him, so I'm not going all in on Brian Robinson yet. But you look at the usage between Robinson and Gibson. Now, Gibson did have an early fumble that could have been a...
Didn't help.
Certainly. 38 to 24 snap edge.
Do you think that's what that was?
Yes.
Okay, so it was 30-24 in snaps. It was 19-3 in carries, which we expect it to be closer, but not a total shock.
Yep.
2-1 in targets, and edge went to Robinson. That was a surprise. But how about this? This is a big takeaway for me. The routes, 15 run for Robinson, 16 for Gibson. Yeah, pretty much a split. That gap needs to be wider for Gibson to be on the flex radar. It's a very good sign for Robinson. And also kind of aligns with the preseason, which is they were using them on all 3 downs, both backs, not kind of splitting it up how we expected. So this could get back to what we expected at some point. But for now, some optimism for Robinson, a guy that we can rank a little higher, feel a little bit more optimistic about as a flex option.
We're going to rip through wide receivers in a second. My only thought here is that the two people in charge in Washington, head coach Ron Rivera and offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy, both players in their own right. They both played in the NFL. Mm-hmm. They're old school. Brian Robinson is such the kind of player that an old school coach is going to love. Mm-hmm. Tougher than a $2 steak, right? Like the guy, I mean, literally came back from being shot multiple times. It was on the field like 6 weeks later last year. Like He is just such the kind of player that I think Ron Rivera and Eric Bieniemy are going to continue to gravitate towards. I'm not saying Antonio Gibson is not that kind of player, but Brian Robinson is that kind of player in spades. Wouldn't surprise me if he is, like, at the end of the season, if you were telling me he's like eighth in carries, I'd be like, yeah, checks out.
I was just going to say, this is very much shaping up like the Chiefs last year, where Robinson is the Pacheco and McKinnon Gibson, where he's not going to play as many snaps, but he's going to catch some touchdowns. Sure. You know, we saw that in the preseason as well. And then I guess, you know, maybe CEH gets a couple touches. Maybe Chris Rodriguez got a couple
touches. Chris Rodriguez got almost as many as
Gibson. Oh, man.
Yeah.
All right, wide receiver talk in a second.
Yeah, we're going to talk about some wide receivers in a second, but first, Field Yates.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance?
I would love to.
Of course you would. When it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help, like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV, even help with homeowners or renters coverage, plus add an easy-to-use mobile app available, 24-hour roadside assistance, and more. And Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
Have you ever dreamed of hitting the road in your very own customized Mercedes-Benz Sprinter?
Yes.
Following college football all season long, hitting all the biggest games in college football's most celebrated stadiums. Yeah, at ESPN, we dreamed that dream. And with the help of Mercedes-Benz, we made it happen. This year, our very own Jen Latta has teamed with Mercedes-Benz designers to create a road-ready, full-functional, state-of-the-art podcast studio on wheels. The ride is pure Mercedes-Benz with an all-wheel drive and the latest driver assistant safety and technology. Podcast studio must be seen and heard to be believed, a spacious and chill conversation space with mics, cameras, and the mixing board to capture all the action on board. Jen Latta will be interviewing some of the biggest names in college football. And points to Mercedes-Benz for always bringing some extra. Out back of the Sprinter, they're innovating, pushing the science of the tailgate, complete with a grill, cooler, TV monitors, and more. This is hashtag van life meets the fan life. To get an inside look at this one-of-a-kind, blow-your-mind collaboration and how it came together, visit mbvvans.com/Sprinter Labs. That is mbvans.com/Sprinter Labs. The Mercedes-Benz ESPN College Football Podcast Sprinter, coming soon to a game near you.
Whether you're looking for whatever you're looking forward to this season, there's one thing that pairs well with every great moment: an ice cold Miller Lite.
Yeah.
At just 96 calories a can, Miller Lite is the only light beer you'll want to celebrate with all season long. So whether you're at the stadium playing fantasy football or watching the game at home or at the bar, Miller Lite is here to make your football season taste like Miller time. From kickoff till the clock runs out, you can't go wrong with a Miller Lite in your hand. It's the only light beer with a taste worthy of our national obsession. Because what's the point of having a beer if it doesn't taste like, well, beer? From kickoff to the clock runs out, it's got only 96 calories and 3.2 carbs per 12-ounce serving with a smooth taste and a crisp, clean finish. You get the taste you crave without the calories. So this season, crack open a light beer that hits your taste buds so hard you feel it in your heart. Make your Miller time all season long. Get Miller Lite delivered right to your door. Visit MillerLite.com/FFF, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories and 3.2 carbs per 12 ounces.
All right, back here on Fantasy Focus, and Mike Clay, we had talked all offseason long. Boy, can Calvin Ridley really be the number one wide receiver in this Jags offense? And what's that going to look like for us in fantasy? After week one, it looks like it's a top 10 kind of wide receiver kind of guy.
Alpha. Yeah,
absolutely, especially in this game where we expect both teams to have to throw the football a lot. Especially Jacksonville, Kansas City lost week one. Going to be very motivated, more so than usual, to make sure they don't start 0-2. And if they're leading, Jacksonville's going to be throwing, and that bumps up Ridley a few spots higher in our rankings. Great week one, 11 targets. It was four more than any other Jag. And again, we thought the biggest threat to his targets was, Christian Kirk.
He's
third in line. Zay Jones is ahead of him, and that's not going to change, it doesn't sound like. So Ridley, certified at least fringe wide receiver one going forward. He could potentially be ranked here going forward the rest of the season, depending on how week two goes.
Would not
what
be crazy.
Freaking value.
Not crazy to think about him being a top 10 wide receiver the rest of the year.
Not at all. Who was the player that we debated with David Presley over him taking in the preseason? Our producer, Dave Presley, was it Chris Olave?
It might have been Chris Olave.
It was like he took him over. Maybe it was Jalen Waddle.
Yeah.
Jalen Waddle, right?
Oh, it was one of those. Jalen Waddle, Devonta Smith, one of those
Waddle,
guys.
Which, by the way, one week in.
Could be a toss-up.
Looks like a pretty competitive race there between those two players.
By the way, one week in, and fifth-round rookie Puka Nacua is the best wide receiver in football, not named Tyreek Hill, it feels like.
Ever, yeah. 15 targets in week one. He had 10 catches. He just absolutely smashed. He had 119 yards. He has cracked all of our top 30 this week. Well, actually, you know what? Mike hates him. He's got him as wide receiver 33.
You
know
I do.
It's the 49ers defense, right? Like, that's
part's concerning, yes.
And also, here's the thing, okay? He had 15 targets. It's the most targets by a rookie in week one in over a decade. The previous high was...
Anquan Boldin.
No.
Week one.
I'm going back. I'm going back to 2011. So it's a little over a decade. So
2011, week one. Who was that?
It was. Well, this happened in 2013.
Wait a minute. You just said 2011.
Going back to 2011. So this is the most since. Got it. This is the most over the past 12 years.
Yes.
The second most is now
2013. I left the.
Now it's Puka Nacua. So the second most is okay.
He had 15. This guy had 14. Do you remember who this was? I'll give you a hint.
Let me guess. Drake London.
No. It was a Patriot.
Not even close, obviously.
A super hyped, like, Patriot. Everyone was grabbing
Chad
him
Jackson?
Off favors. Kenbrell Tompkins.
Wow. Yeah. But what a name.
So here's the thing. Rookie receivers with 10 or more targets in week one since 2011.
Okay.
You got Nacua. You got Tompkins. Jags, Rashad Green. Will Fuller. Tajay Sharp. Quintez Cephas.
Your boy. Those are not good.
Zay Flowers. Joins the
I like that
he
one.
Joins the group.
That's a good name.
And Corey Davis. So what I'm saying here is this does not mean that Nacua is going to keep doing this and be a star. And like we found the next wide receiver one or even two. We don't know for sure yet. We need to see a larger sample. So I'm just saying like you can use this opportunity this week to maybe work a trade. We talked about that on Monday. Just, you know, we want to slow our roll a little bit. There's reason for optimism. He should at least be on rosters. You can consider him as a flex, but this does not mean he's a certified star.
You don't get 15 targets by accident, though. Like, obviously, oh, without
Rashad Cooper Green there. Well, Kenbrell Tompkins, Tajay Sharp. You know.
He was, like, Matthew Stafford looked his way. He looked very trusted. I went back and watched all of Puka's catches. Mm-hmm. I almost said Cooper. I was all of Puka Nacua's catches. And, like, him
Cooper
and Matthew
Nacua.
Stafford.
That actually kind of sounds good.
They just looked in some, like, they were together. Now, this 49ers defense is going to be tough. And that's why he's not ranked a little bit higher for me. Because coming off of a 15-target game, I would keep just rolling him out there until I know better. It's tough in week two. I want some bye weeks because it's hard to make him, you know, get him.
Was
up that
high, he? So let's ask this question for you guys: was he the number one waiver ad last night in your opinion?
Yeah, I think so.
I went back and forth with someone this morning who had a top priority in the waiver wire, and the question was: are you getting 4 weeks? Sorry, 3 weeks max of utility with Nacua? Because if Cooper Kupp's back in week five, what is Cooper Nacua going forward? And I'm calling him that.
Cooper Nacua.
Cooper Nacua. Koopa, yeah.
Like in Mario.
Koopa
Mario?
Nacua.
Mario, yeah. Sorry.
My God.
Sorry.
You're
I didn't
sickening.
Mean to mispronounce it.
That is a bit, that is the conversation, right? Because I really liked Nico Collins, rostered in just over 55% of leagues. Guy had over 11 targets as well. That's
what percentage?
55%. 55.
Thank you.
And that's another guy. Like, I would almost rather go with a guy like that who I feel like is going to have a season, Nico Collins.
Oh, yeah.
A season's worth of at target share rather than Puka. The question is, the first couple of weeks, there's a chance that Puka continues to see double-digit targets. So that's sort of the question when you're looking at the waiver wire.
Yeah, I don't know when Cooper Kupp's going to be back. I do find it hard to believe that they're going to have space for two receivers if Cooper Kupp is his usual self in this offense consistently.
Yeah,
yeah. I think if he's the real deal, he will be a fantasy starter. Also, Matthew Stafford looked great, and he's one of the better quarterbacks in the league when healthy. Also, I stand by my concerns with the defense. They're going to have some bad games, I believe. And if that's the case, then the Rams are going to have to throw to stay competitive, and that's going to open up the opportunity. So I disagree. If Stafford's healthy and plays well, I think they could support two fantasy starters.
Okay, let's rip through more.
Is that why you're the lowest on him, Mike? Let's talk about
for
Michael
this
Pittman.
Week, you meant 49. Did you see the 49ers defense?
The 49ers defense was really good. They were really good. All right, let's talk about Michael Pittman here. He looked fantastic in week one with Anthony Richardson under center.
Yeah.
Eight catches,
97
yards, one touchdown on 11 targets.
Tell you what, that's the only, here are a couple things that matter to me. He's going to dominate targets in this offense. Mm-hmm. The fact that they trusted Anthony Richardson to throw the football 37 times in week one was awesome. Mm-hmm. Who's the second best receiver on this roster?
Pass.
It could be Josh Downs, but Alec Pierce will be the more of a vertical threat. Low
tell
targets,
you what, the people are starting to get concerned about Alec Pierce already in Indianapolis. So Michael Pittman is going to stand out like a sore thumb in this wide receiver room. Love the opportunity here for Michael Pittman being a value going forward.
Yeah, they called adjusting for game script, they called a pass-first offense, which was not the expectation. A lot of volume for the passing. If that continues, Richardson will be a star. Pittman will be fine. Career low, 5.5 average depth of targets, a lot of short-range stuff. That's
don't
fine
care.
In PPR. That's
don't
fine
care
in PPR
at all.
As long as the target shares high.
I don't remember if we said this on Monday, but any chance that Field, you just said this, the Rashad White, James Cook thing. Is there a chance that Michael Pittman was actually the DK Metcalf we were thinking about and maybe not the Tampa Bay wide receivers? Is Michael Pittman the guy that everybody faded because Anthony Richardson? You don't want Anthony Richardson throwing the football to Michael Pittman.
Interesting.
And he might deliver some potential flex value here.
We'll see.
I will get back to you on that in a couple of weeks. Yeah. I don't have a good enough feeling
for right now. It's week one.
Yeah, I want to reiterate, I still have volume concerns in this offense. It was a good start. It was week one.
Good test this weekend. That Texans defense is legit.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mike, how you feeling about your Garrett Wilson stock?
How'd you adjust?
Not great. How much time do we have? Because I got to be honest, Monday wasn't feeling too good about this. This one hurts for sure. I also, did you know this? That touchdown that he caught, which was actually thrown to the defender and reached over. Tre'Davious White shattered him in this game. That was part of, a big chunk of his snaps is part of why he had not as much volume as we hoped for. That was the first touchdown ever in a regular season game from Zach to Garrett Wilson.
Wow.
He had zero of his touchdowns were from Zach Wilson last season.
No way. How about that?
Yeah. And I looked at that. 9 games with Zach Wilson last year, 24% target share. That's great. 8.6 fantasy points per game. No touchdowns. That would have been 60th over the full season.
Yeah.
Not great. He doesn't. I mean, you heard it from Garrett Wilson himself. Aaron Rodgers apologized to him and said, like, sorry, kid, like. You know, I mean, guys, you know, the vertical passing game is not going to be as good with Zach Wilson.
Not even close. It's not. And I know, like right now, and I think that I have said this clearly. I think the Jets' plan initially will be to stick with Zach Wilson as their guy.
Mm-hmm. Trying out Chad Henne, did I see? Like they're scraping. No,
he's
the
retired.
Of the
I think that one's going to stay retired.
Okay,
too.
All right,
guys. Do you remember when the Jets were close to trading for Aaron Rodgers this offseason? The way that the Jets players who are now Aaron Rodgers' teammates were publicly victory lapping on Twitter, like, yes, we finally got a quarterback. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Now I get it. Aaron Rodgers is a 4-time MVP. It's huge, right? Those guys, like Zach Wilson's still on the team. Mm-hmm.
His confidence has got to be so low.
Of course it is. If you think this, like, I get it. He's had a 4-month stint to learn from Aaron Rodgers, and the pressure's different now because the Jets don't have as much recourse because there's really not that many quarterbacks that at least at this moment are super available. But if you think Zach Wilson is all of a sudden a reformed player because of a couple of months learning behind Aaron Rodgers, just watch the game again on Monday night. It was still, I mean, it was not exactly a super inspiring performance. So I've got Wilson as closer to, I've got him as wide receiver 15 this week. I kind of feel like that's where he's going to settle in weekly as opposed to the hope that he might be wide receiver 5 on a week-in, week-out basis.
Could be even lower. And they're playing Dallas. So he's going to be on the perimeter. He's going to see Trevon Diggs and Stephon Gilmore throughout this game. So it is another really tough matchup.
Am I the only person in a super flex league that are all the quarterbacks we're taking that put down way too much money of my fab on trying to get Zach Wilson as a quarterback? Do you guys, because when you're in a super flex league, all the starting quarterbacks are gone. Like there is
every starting quarterback should be rostered. Exactly. I don't know about too much fab, but
well, it's like how much do you spend on? It's tough. Yeah. All right, let's talk about Zay Flowers here. Zay Flowers also looked unbelievable. I cannot believe Field. You're outside the top 30. Mike and I know what's going on here. Usually I'm on your side with this.
You are, right?
Yeah, but what's happening here?
No, that's a good point. No, I do love Zay Flowers. You guys might be able to convince me on this one. The only thing I'd say about Zay Flowers was just that, and maybe he is kind of perfect for this, but it was all yak in week one, if that's the formula for them, it might not be the worst thing. I just think that the upside might be a little bit harder to achieve, even with great volume, because I just think touchdowns are harder to come by if the average depth of target is 2.7 yards, which
was
in week one.
His rookie season? It might not have been that low.
It was. That's basically what it was.
I will say this. They only had, as a team, 21 targets.
Yeah.
He had 10 of them.
Yeah.
That's a really good sign. They were just building around him in that offense.
Totally.
Yeah.
All right, another guy we're going to talk about real quickly, and then we're going to move on to some players. Oh, no, we'll talk about tight ends and some players really far apart.
We don't have to, whatever.
Brandon Ayuk. Guys, we're finally here in this spot. Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel. We're looking at both of them as being potential starters within this 49ers offense because Brock Purdy looks really efficient. Not a guy that I'm interested in fantasy, but for
maybe
at least supporting. In a two-quarterback league, for now. Something like that, but you look at what he did for these wide receivers, and I feel like there is more than enough talent to be able to supply these guys with fantasy value for us.
This one, to me, is fairly simple, actually. Goes back to the heart versus head thing. You're really not going to play a guy with that much talent and that good of an offense in a matchup that, even though the Rams defense played really well last week, this is not the 85 Bears they're playing. Like, of course you're playing Brandon Ayuk. You're playing him. You're playing all the 49ers, basically.
Brandon Ayuk drafted outside the top 35 a wide receiver, all of a sudden inside the top 20.
Yeah. Now, let me tell you this, though. If you woke up on Monday morning and Brandon Ayuk had four catches for 37 yards, would I be stunned? No. Mm-hmm. Of course not.
I talked about that Monday, right? He had three 20-plus point games last year, two with two touchdowns, just like in week one. He averaged 10 fantasy points per game in his other, including the playoffs, 17 other games last year. He also had eight plus target games last season. Yeah. He had eight targets in week one. So we've seen this before. The question now becomes, can he do this most weeks?
Yep.
Which is what we need for him to be a lineup lock. Or is he going to continue to be boom bust like he's been throughout his career?
Guys,
that's the question.
We already knew this. This is if you know you're going to have that up and down nature with this offense, aren't you going to also have it with Deebo Samuel?
Yeah, but maybe.
So if you have that, would you rather spend a fifth round pick on Deebo Samuel or the ninth round pick on Brandon Ayuk?
I'm not convinced you're going to have nearly as much of an up and down nature with Deebo Samuel as you might with Brandon Ayuk, because as recently as 2021. There was a sample in which we saw Deebo Samuel be the guy in this offense and the highest scoring receiver in fantasy football.
Not in this offense. No.
Okay. We'll find out. Yeah, we have that board bet already.
Let's talk about Drake London. Are you starting Drake London, or is he just relegated to your bench until you finally see something from him?
It depends on what scoring criteria you're looking for.
I just want him to get any
routes
points.
Routes run are good. blocks are good. How can you? I mean, he had one target last week.
All right.
I saw the stat this morning about how Desmond Ridder has the lowest interception percentage since the start of last year amongst quarterbacks.
Is that because he threw the ball 18
times? I also have a low interception rate. I also don't throw any passes. Right.
Yes. Yeah, man.
The fewest number of passes thrown by a starting quarterback in week one.
It was. Do you want me to give you first of all, I'll give you a negative point here for this week and then a positive point. The negative point is he's likely going to try the Jaire Alexander shadow. He shadowed DJ Moore last week, and you may recall Moore 25 yards in that game. Here's the positive. I look back at the four Ridder starts last year because I was like, man,
a lot of volume then. Yeah.
33% target share in those four games. That's 9 per game. So you can't say, well, it's such a low volume game. 9 targets per game in those four games, 8+ in all four. He was 10th in the NFL in targets during those four games and was 21st in fantasy points despite 0 touchdowns. So this could be a fluke, right? They're going to use London. It's going to be better days are going to be ahead for him. They didn't run a lot of plays in this game. They ran the ball. They had a lead by 2 touchdowns or at least a touchdown throughout most of this game. I did reduce him obviously because that was scary what we saw last week, and they're still going to run it a lot, but there is some reason to expect him to at least get back on track.
Makes me sad.
Yeah. I want to talk about one more guy. Do you guys mind?
Can we ditch the tight end talk and instead do the players we're far apart on? Tight ends, Jake Ferguson, it's interesting, but not a guaranteed lock. And
those are still tight end too. So we're going to talk about Zachers and Jake Ferguson who are going up and not startable yet.
All right. So then here's where it's at. Why are you guys cowards about George Pickens? I'm at wide receiver 29. Field, you're at wide receiver 48. Mike, you're at wide receiver 37.
I might have some sort of clerical error there with George Pickens because there's no way that I have him at wide receiver 49
in my brain. Is a top 39 wide receiver this week.
Well, no Deontay Johnson, so obviously we should expect him. That was his pre-Deontay Johnson news. Maybe. No, I think it might have been as simple as I clicked the wrong button there during our rankings process because, of course, you're more optimistic on George Pickens.
Let me ask Mike then because if you're not far
go
off.
Go for it, yeah. Go
Mike,
for it.
Why are you a coward on George Pickens?
Wait, well, I'm in the middle of you two right now. So how far are you going? Are you moving about your 20 spots off? You're going to go from 40
to
20?
No, up to
probably like 37 or so?
More like 36, yeah.
Okay, so a little higher. So I am the lowest. Yeah, all right. Okay. He hasn't done it yet. I mean, that was his most target since, week 5 of last season. He had 36 yards in this game. And, Deontay played a chunk of that game. But, love the skill set, but we need to see the performance. I think for now to call him a flex, I have him ranked as a flex. I think that's totally fair. Allen Robinson was soaking up targets. Calvin Austin was soaking up targets.
Do you Allen Robinson will continue to soak up targets this week?
Yeah.
The number two wide receiver, right?
Yeah. He's going to be the two. Calvin Austin's actually playing outside. He's small. We thought he'd be a slot guy. Robinson is in the slot. Austin and Pickens will be outside. I just hope they design 6 to 8 plays per game for Pickens and target him that often. That's what he's going to need.
5 yards per attempt for Kenny Pickett. That was the concern for me coming into this season was is this offense way too horizontal? Week one, it was.
Yeah, it was the Niners, though. Maybe, but again, that's another thing, by the way. They're playing the Browns. Bengals didn't even have 100 passing yards last week.
Can I really look at that game and say, hey, that defense did everything because of the weather, right? That's my only question
about it. That's part of it, but the Browns, well, whatever. I came into the season high on the Browns defense, so I think they're going to do it again. I just think they have a very, very good defense. And they all were right, without Juan Thornhill as well in that game.
I think that George Pickens is going to be a top 34 wide receiver this week.
34. Let's see. What are we? Are you
I'm
cheating here?
I'm at 29. You're at what?
Oh, yeah, 37. All right, so what did you say? Top what?
34. I even gave you some.
Yeah,
I
you
even
did.
Gave you. I was saying he's going to be top 33 wide receiver.
Okay.
You good with that?
Yeah, whatever you've said.
I think George Pickens will be a top 33 wide receiver here in week two.
I think George Pickens will not be a top 33 fantasy receiver in week two.
Put on the board.
Put it on the board.
Oh, love that field.
Sound hey, like a sounder.
We I don't that know why I just grabbed that mic there, but it felt important. Yeah.
It was sort of like, it kind of like a, you're a wrestling like
made
referee.
It feel, yes.
Yeah, you take it all.
Yes,
of a
I'm the, those, it was a, it's a, it's Bob Baffert, Michael Baffert, Bob Baffert. This is Bob so Baffert. Bad.
I have no idea.
Bob, I'm sorry if you're watching this right now.
So that's like, that's basically a touchdown bet. If he scores, it's over.
Yeah.
You won.
Yeah, that's how it works. All right. Really, there's we don't have a whole lot of time left. Field, do you want to give one more player that you
it's
like?
Not or Bob
you
wanna... Baffert. I'm completely screwed. Bob Baffert's the horse guy. I'm just an idiot. I'm thinking of the guy, the ring announcer.
Oh, wow.
Who, let's get ready to rumble.
We, yeah, who is that? I don't
know. Michael Buffer.
Michael, there it is. That's it.
I don't Michael
know. I'm not familiar
Buffer.
With that name. So.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls,
how
children
many
of all
are
ages.
Screaming at their speakers right now.
Just like, Michael
yeah, a lot. Yeah. I'm an idiot. This is like the third thing that I've royally screwed up, completely unrelated to fantasy football. On top of all the stuff that I've screwed up that actually is fantasy football, what kind of a podcast is this?
Not a comedy not podcast, I'll tell you that. What is that going to be?
What?
Your mind?
Took it right out of my mouth.
I was moving up the charts.
We're merging way too fast. What?
Gosh.
We're moving up the comedy charts, too.
That's so good. That's going to do it for us today. We got a lot more rankings conversation we're going to keep on doing throughout the week. We got the squirrel report that is coming out. Make sure that you send us some voicemails, guys. That phone number is real. Go check it out on my Twitter. We're going to be back, and we're going to preview a freaking football game tomorrow. Football already.
Hey-o.
I am so glad it's football season. For Field Yates, for Mike Clay, my name is Daniel Dopp. We love you guys. Don't forget to love each other. Be kind to yourself. You have earned that. Call the Score Report. We'll see you guys on Thursday.
Can we make sure? Okay, just go to the comedy section of wherever your podcast. Rate, subscribe, review.
Best comedy podcast
I'm
ever.
Not familiar with the Squirrel Report. Is that a Shadow Report parody?
It wow. is. It is close to that. Yeah. Yeah.
If you need a stick of Tide, Field is your guy. If you're in Bristol or in Farmington, you should find another ride. Candidly, he hates Mike Clay, and you know that it's a fact. Every Yater's gonna Yate, 'cause he's on TV every day. A spicy tomato who's got the stats and tweets that'll make you laugh. He's our favorite host, and everybody knows his name. He's Field.